Most gracious Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be together on this special Sunday right before Christmas. We just praise your holy name for all your goodness to us, and we thank you most of all, for our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who came into this world and went through everything that we go through and died on the cross to take away our sins, arose again on the third day, ascended back to heaven, and is coming again in power and great glory. He's coming to take us home. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for all your goodness and love to us today. We do pray for those who cannot be with us. We ask you to undertake for them in a very special way today that your will be accomplished in their lives. We think of Ray Skibbe. We think of Lynette Bainbridge and of Sue Norsini. And of others, I'm sure there's many others, and we pray for those who are suffering from the COVID-19. We do pray, O God, that you will soon give us a respite from this virus, and that we might be able to serve you in a better way, and be more open and about and able to accomplish all that you have for us to do. Lord, help us to put our faith and trust in you and not fear, not turn aside from our duties and responsibilities, but to keep on keeping on until it's all over. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, and thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Scripture reading today, I wanted to read this scripture regarding the Christmas story. Luke chapter 1 and from verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today.
Of Bethlehem, looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the King has left his throne, be sleeping in a manger tonight, tonight. Oh Bethlehem, what you had missed while you were sleeping, for God became a man and stepped into your world today. Oh Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. While you were sleeping. The little town of Jerusalem looks like another silent night. The Father gave His only Son, the way, the truth, the life had come, but there was no room for Him in the world He came to save. Jerusalem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, the Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. While you were sleeping. United States of America looks like another silent night. As we're sung to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children, and while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky. For the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away in the night, in the night. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for its king? Will we be sleeping? Will we be sleeping? United States of America looks like another silent night.
Thought-provoking song, isn't it? Think of that. Are we sleeping or are we awake? We need to wake up. The Lord says that it's high time to wake out of sleep, right? And serve the Lord. I have a hymnology. We ordinarily have one of these. I think everyone seems to enjoy them. This one is Angels from the Realms of Glory. Verse says, praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Psalm 148:2. Like all Moravians, John Montgomery had a burden for world evangelism. He was the only Moravian pastor in Scotland, but he and his wife felt God's call to be missionaries to the island of Barbados. Tearfully placing their 6-year-old son, James, in a Moravian settlement in Bracehill near Ballymena County, Antrim, Ireland, they sailed away. James never saw them again, for they perished in Barbados. Left with nothing, James was enrolled in a school in England. When he didn't do well, he was apprenticed by school authorities to a baker. Baking wasn't for James. He ran away and spent his teenage years drifting from pillar to post, writing poetry and trying his hand at one thing and then another. He eventually settled down in Sheffield, England. In his early 20s, James began working for the local newspaper, the Sheffield Register, and there he found his niche. He loved writing. It was a politically active newspaper, and when its owner had to suddenly flee the country to avoid persecution and imprisonment, James purchased the paper and renamed it the Sheffield Iris. His editorials, too, proved unpopular with the local officials. On two separate occasions, he was thrown into jail. But he emerged from prison a celebrity, and he used his newly acquired fame to promote his favorite issues. Chief among them was the gospel. Despite the loss of his parents, James Montgomery remained devoted to Christ and to the Scriptures, and he championed the cause of foreign missions and of the British Bible Society. As the years passed, he became the most respected leader in Sheffield, and his writings were eagerly read by its citizens. Early on Christmas Eve, 1816, James, 45, opened his Bible to Luke 2 and was deeply impressed by verse 13. Pondering the story of the heralding angels, he took his pen and started writing. By the end of the day, his new Christmas poem was being read in the pages of his newspaper. It was later set to music and was first sung on Christmas Day, 1821, in a Moravian church in England. Angels from the realms of glory. His parents would have been proud. So we're going to sing together, Angels from the Realms of Glory. You can sing. You can turn Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. That's where we're going to be starting. We're thinking about good news today. You know, this is what the angel said to the shepherds, wasn't it? Good news. Christ is born today. The world is filled with bad news. I've just about quit watching the television or listening to the radio because all you hear is bad news, right? Everywhere is all the floods and fires and viruses around the world. A problem that just doesn't seem to want to go away, does it? And now they've come out with the vaccines. We'll see what happens, but the world is filled with bad news. I know in persecutions of those who believe in the Lord. How are we supposed to stand up under these things? Economic hardships, now they're closing down all the businesses, right? Sickness, injustice and ungodliness all over. Is there any hope for this world? You know, you wonder, right? Humanly speaking, I don't think so. The scriptures say that in the last days, perilous times will come, right? So we shouldn't really be too surprised. This is going to happen. And yet at the same time, you hate to see it, right? I mean, I enjoy good things. I enjoy, good food, good times, rejoicing, singing, all these things which we're doing today. And I think this is the right thing to do at this time. Rather than sitting in a corner someplace mourning and, But we do need to look to the Lord and pray and seek His face. And Christmas allows us to have good news. This is something that endures throughout the years, no matter what. You know? God is still in heaven. He's still on His throne. Jesus is at His right hand. And someday He's coming again to take us home. Do you know when that is? Anybody want to tell me? When is Jesus coming? Anybody know? No. Okay. Well, we're all waiting, aren't we? Are we waiting in anticipation? Watching for the bridegroom to come at any time? That's the good news. He is coming. And we need to be waiting, watching. Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, right? Keep your minds and hearts centered on the Lord. And don't allow anything to turn you aside from that, no matter what it might be, no matter how bad it might be. This world is not really our home, as the song says, right? We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I don't know where it is. Do you know where it is? No. But anyway, it's there. And we're looking forward to that. That's the good news. God is there. He's the one who loved us in spite of our sins, in spite of our failures, in spite of our all that we have done and have not done. God loves us. And I like to think about that, you know. He loves us no matter what. Even when we really mess up, God still loves us. Right? And He always will. And we can count on that. He loved us enough to send Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. I watched it again yesterday. I love that little Charlie Brown thing, the Linus telling what Christmas is all about. You know, isn't that beautiful? And that's it. All the rest of it is trappings, right? We enjoy it. Yes, we do. We enjoy getting the presents. And I do appreciate any gifts that people are giving us. We certainly thank you so much for that. But anyway, the Lord Jesus is the gift, isn't He? He's the gift that God has given to us. And He has given us eternal life. Isaiah the prophet is one of my favorite books of the Bible. Isaiah thundered out the good news to Israel back in chapter 40. I'd like to read this. 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that brings good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that brings good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Here we find a message of comfort and liberation. You know what Israel went through with all of the captivities in Egypt and in Babylon and the Assyrians coming against them. And now the Lord is sending the message saying, it's all over. The conflict is over. Your testings are through. Your sins are forgiven. And you can rejoice in all that God is. This was a message of comfort that God sent to them. Jesus tells us that today, applying this to ourselves, he says what? Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And I think if there's anything this morning that we need, folks, it's rest, it's peace, comfort. In the midst of all that is happening around us, all the bad news, let's look at the good news and say, hey, that's wonderful. God is still there. He is still with me. He lives with me. He's always there. And we can trust Him. Jesus says, come to me. I will give you rest. This is a message of preparation. Notice the third verse talks about the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Who is this? John the Baptist refers this to himself, doesn't he? As he came, proclaiming the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is in your midst, if you will only receive him. It's a message of preparation. John the Baptist said, this is who I am. They come to him, they said, who are you? Are you Jeremiah? Are you some other prophet? Are you the Messiah? John said, oh no. I'm a voice. The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord. That's what he came for, wasn't it? John came as the forerunner, the one who would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Born only 6 months prior to the birth of Jesus, right? And he grew up out in the wilderness, eating locust and wild honey. Can you imagine that? How long would we last? I don't know. I don't think I would last very long. Anyway, this man was, as they say, hardy. He was a hardy man. And God used him in a miraculous way. It's amazing. I always get a kick out of that. When Mary went to see Elizabeth, you remember? And as soon as she spoke, the babe leaped in her womb for joy. Huh? Elizabeth's baby, John. He was already anticipating the coming of Jesus, even while he was still in the womb. Is that amazing or what? Wow. And they say that's just a fetus. That's just a blob. No. No, that's a human being. Very conscious. And anyway, don't get me started on that. But we do need to pray for those who are working with expectant mothers, like Genesis. You know, they opened a place in Phoenixville now and instructing these ladies in how to raise their children and how to take care of them and all of that. And we need to pray for them as well. They're doing a great job. Anyway, for many years here, God's people had prayed for deliverance. The Christmas song says, O come, Emmanuel. Ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. See, they must have thought of that many, many times down through history. All of the psalms and the songs that they sung, looking forward, anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And they wondered, well, is it ever going to happen? Well, we knew it did, didn't it? In the little town of Bethlehem, Jesus came forth. Isaiah here had already prophesied back in chapter 7, verse 14. We know that scripture. Let's take a look there for a minute. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which we know, of course, means God with us. Matthew tells us over in his gospel that this is referring to the birth of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So, we find here the good news being preached, that Jesus was coming, the Messiah, the Christ. And in his gospel, John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this baby that was born in Bethlehem is the eternal Word of God, God himself, who always has been. He became a human being that he might save us from our sins. Jesus said that he that has seen me has seen the Father. In him, Paul tells us, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus. He is God, and he came. Back in Isaiah again in chapter 9, another portion I'm sure you're very familiar with because of Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9. I love this portion. And where it speaks of his name. Isaiah chapter 9 let's begin at verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Remember, Jesus lived his life in Galilee, right? The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Down to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, here we find Jesus is, as it says here, the great light. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. There in the the area of Galilee that was so despised by the elite. Jesus came forth, lived his life in Nazareth in a very simple way. But then the light began to shine more and more as they began to realize who he was. This tiny infant born in Bethlehem is the Son of God, given to take our sins away and to rule and reign in righteousness forever. Listen to these words of, this is by Roy Lesson. He works with the Day Spring, I think. Anyway, it said, a child is born. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. To those in sin, God sent us the Savior. Aren't you glad? Yes. To those in darkness, God sent us the light. To those in bondage, God sent us the deliverer. To those in defeat, God sent us the victor. To those in want, God sent us the shepherd. To those in hunger, God sent us the bread. To those in pain, God sent us the physician. To those in doubt, God sent us the truth. To those in confusion, God sent us the way. To those in turmoil, God sent us the Prince of Peace. To all in need, God sent His only begotten Son. So, we find here the great light, Jesus, came. In all these wonderful names that we have here, it says he's, I know many of the versions say wonderful counselor, that's fine, but also he is wonderful, isn't he? I heard that Dr. Criswell preaching on his name is wonderful. He does such a marvelous job of that, and his name is wonderful. Jesus is the most wonderful one that could ever be. And he is the counselor, the one to whom we can go to find the answers that we need. The mighty God. Yes, we've looked at that already. He is all the fullness of God in a human body. The everlasting Father. We look to him as our guide, our helper, our strength, the one who shows us the way. The Prince of Peace. Did you notice though, it speaks here about his government. Is Jesus reigning now? You wouldn't think so, would you? To look around and see all that's happening in our world. And, but he is going to. This is something that's still coming. It's some more good news. Jesus is going to come back and rule and reign here on the earth. Did you know that? Yes. Yes, he is. And we can appreciate that and know that he is with us to help us in every situation. Dr. Scofield has a note here. He says, Isaiah points out that the very region where the Assyrian armies brought darkness and death would be the first to rejoice in the light brought by the preaching of Christ as he came. And he came to provide the light for those in the darkness. He came to give us all that we need. He is the great light that shines to all of us. It says again in Isaiah 49, I will give thee for a light to the nations, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Jesus didn't come only for the Jews, right? He came for everybody. And here he says that he is my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Simeon, when he was talking about the baby, he said he's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus came for everyone. He's the life that lights every man that comes into the world, it says in John chapter 1. He's the true light. He's the creator. He is the savior. He is all that we need. He's the light of the world. And the good news, as we see here in the book of Isaiah, the last part of his book, he goes into the matter of the coming Savior in a special way. I know you are familiar with this portion in Isaiah chapter 53, but let's take a look at that and think about all that we have in our Lord and Savior. He is our hope. He is the only one who can deliver us from all that we are oppressed by. Isaiah says in chapter 53, "Who has believed our report?" You know, many people don't believe, right? They think, oh, well, it's just a fairy tale. Something that was written a long, long time ago, and you can't really trust it. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then it talks about Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. You know, Jesus didn't walk around with a halo on his head and, you know, glow all the time. He only did that on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he was one of us. He grew up. He worked. He did everything that any other person does except what? Except sin. He never sinned. That's the one exception. And it goes on talking about him. It says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Isn't that terrible? It says he came unto his own and his own received him not. Right? But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I hope that's us this morning, right? We are the sons and daughters of God because of Jesus. What he did for us. The world might turn away from him, despise him, reject him. But we have received him. You see? That makes all the difference. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. You see? He took our place that we might have benefit from all that he has. He took our sin that we might have his righteousness. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Now that's a good question. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus, speaking there, after his death, after his suffering, he arose again, right? And he lives forevermore. He has the name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Isaiah vividly describes how the Messiah was rejected and died in a horrible way. You know, is that good news? I said this was going to be good news, didn't I? That doesn't sound so good. And yet it is. This is the best news of all. Because he did it for us. Right? He took our sins that we might have his righteousness. He took our death that we might have his life. And we can rejoice in that. This is the best news of all. All we like sheep have gone astray, it says. We've all turned away. But he came to bring us back. To bring us to himself. And to save us from our sins. All he asks us to do is to admit that we're sinners. That we can't make it on our own. You know? We can't do enough good to save ourselves. There's no way. But we can receive him. He has already paid the price that we might be saved from all of our sins and have eternal life in him. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. How Jesus has provided it all for us. Then, as believers, I trust most of us here today are, maybe all of us, what are we going to do? We have the blessed privilege of spreading the good news to others. And this is what we need to do. Lay aside our, you know, all of the preoccupations that we have. I know I'm by nature a very quiet person. You wouldn't believe that when I'm standing up here. But anyway, it's the truth. We need to spread the gospel somehow. What do you do? Do you write? Do you talk? What do you do? Well, when you do it, be sure you're spreading the good news. You know, there's enough bad news already. We don't need to talk about all the bad things that's going on in the world. Let's talk about Jesus and what he's done for us. Like the shepherds who made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. It says, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. You see, that's what we need to do. Like the early believers who went everywhere preaching the word. We are called to be witnesses for him. Let us not fail in the task that he has given us to take the good news wherever we go. Our Father, we thank you so much this morning for your precious word and thank you for your wonderful gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, at this Christmas time we do rejoice that we are saved by the grace of God, that we have eternal life, and that we need not fear what anything else can do to us. May we look to you, trust you, walk in fellowship, and be a faithful witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May your will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, appreciate everybody taking part in the service this morning and enjoyed it very much. And I hope everyone will have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. and that we can serve the Lord together. Gracious Heavenly Father, be with us now as we part company once again. We pray that you'll be with us and help us, that we might be faithful witnesses to all those that we come in contact with, and honor your name in all that we do. Thank you so much for providing all of our needs. Help us, O Lord, to look to you in the good times and in the bad times, and know that you're always with us. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified through it all. We pray in his precious name. Amen.